Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue our sermon series in 1 Corinthians, and I want to point something out in verse 1. I hope you notice that one of the sentences there has quotation marks around it. And the reason that's there is that the Corinthian church had written a letter to Paul. Right? We think of Paul as writing letters to people. But sometimes the churches wrote back. And what they were doing is they were saying, we live in this crazy, confused world. How do we live as Christian people? And so they had a question about something, and he's responding back. And so you see where it says, now concerning the matters about which you wrote, then colon, then quotation mark, the editors have put that in there. So we know that the Corinthians wrote to him. Their question was, and they said to him, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. That's what they said to him. That's not what Paul is affirming. Paul is going to answer that. And we only read part of the chapter. The chapter is 40 verses long with Paul answering this question. Is it better not to have a sexual life at all? This is what they were saying. They were saying the world around us has totally messed up human sexuality. Maybe the Christian response is to be completely abstinent. You see what they were saying? It's an overreaction. If the people of the world around us have goofed it up, maybe the answer is to entirely refrain. And Paul says, not so, but while we're on the topic, let's talk about marriage. So let's talk about marriage just a little bit. Paul says throughout this chapter, you heard it multiple times, and so I want to start by saying this. It's in the Bible. Being single is good. Do you hear me? Being single is good. Now, we're going to get to the point that being married is good too, but I want to make very, very clear that singleness has its good parts. Paul makes it very clear, by the way, and he's in agreement with Jesus about this, that some people are actually called to be single, called by God to lead the single life, just the same as many are called to be married. Now, Paul was single. Some people say Paul used to be married and was maybe a widower. We don't know that for sure. You have to infer some things. But Paul was single throughout his ministry, and it was a good thing, too. What was Paul's ministry like? Full of hardship and difficulty and arrests and beatings and shipwreck and travel throughout the entire Mediterranean world. Paul travels from Israel to Greece to Rome to Spain. Paul was called by the Lord for the service of the Lord to do all that traveling, to go through all the things he went through. What he didn't need in his life is saying, somebody saying, what time will you be home for dinner tonight? Right? That's just the truth of it. And so Paul says a couple of times, it's good to be single, and for some people, I wish they could be like I am. Unencumbered, unhindered to do the work of the Lord. Now, Paul says, and he's right, in verses 32 to 35, he says, when you're married, you have to think about keeping your spouse happy. Is that right? Married folks, is one of the thoughts in your life, I have to keep my spouse happy? Paul's not critiquing that. That is exactly correct. It is your job to keep your spouse happy, and that's not a sinful thing, but what happens in marriage? All the busyness of life, right? It's not things that are wrong, but marriage is full of the kids need new shoes, what time is the parent-teacher league, etc., right? That's what it's like. So Paul says, if you're single, that's all right. Paul says, some are called to it, some are not. Jesus says the same thing in Matthew 19. Jesus says that some are eunuchs. He doesn't mean physically. He means that are practicing abstinence. Some are eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom. And then he literally says these words, not everyone can accept that. Right? In fact, most people cannot accept it. I have a friend. He's a pastor in our church body, a Lutheran pastor. He's been single his whole life, never divorced, not a widower. He was interested in maybe finding a spouse, but he was one of those guys who was never really hankering for it and has never gotten married. And he's a pastor. He was a pastor in Florida for many years. He's American, and eventually got a call to serve a church in Germany. That's a change, isn't it? Florida, to relocate your entire life and ministry to Germany. And you know whose permission he had to ask? No one. Right? No one. He serves in Germany. He's delighted there. He's there now. We correspond with him. And he sends me pictures of how beautiful Germany is. And I tell him how beautiful South Carolina is, right? Abraham, I love that story in the Bible when Abraham and Sarah are waiting forever to have a child. They finally have Isaac, and God says, as a matter of testing his faith, I want you to sacrifice Isaac to me. And Abraham and Isaac take off, but this is something that my wife always says. You better believe they never told Sarah what they were going to go do. Right? That's what it's like. So here, by the way, I want us to be clear about this, that there is a good part about being single, and here's the challenge to the church. Are you ready, church? The church is mostly full of married people, right? If you have a lot of married people, you know what you have? You have a Sunday school department. You have children's messages. We delight to have a young couple. If you're a young couple and you're new, we love to see a young couple with kids. Wonderful, but what happens is the life of the church get oriented toward what? Toward family ministry. And so this is why I'm saying this. Maybe I'm dwelling on it too much, but I want to say this. Then the church has to be very clear. There's nothing wrong with being single, right? There's nothing wrong with that. And sometimes the church gets caught up in acting like there's something amiss in the life of a single person. If God called you to be single, then that's the call, right? So let's be clear about that. Being single is good, but the next thing Paul is going to say is being married is good. Being married is also good. And I want to talk about that in some detail because this is what happens. A lot of times people read 1 Corinthians 7 and they'll say, why does Paul seem to be opposed to marriage? The answer is he isn't. He says, in one way or another, he changes his phrasing, but in one way or another, he will say, get married, 6 times in this chapter. 40 verses, 6 times, he says, get married. So let's look at what he says. The first thing, and I think we've already talked about this in previous weeks, but I just want to be clear again. Marriage, and marriage only, is the proper place for the sexual relationship. That is the biblical witness. I know it's countercultural. I know it's not what people want to hear, but we're going to be very, very clear is that God has created that gift, as I said a couple weeks ago, then built a fence around it. That fence is called marriage. That's where that belongs. Paul has already said it's good to be single, but he means if you're called to being single. What he doesn't mean is this. Some people, and we want to face this squarely, some people remain single so that they can play the field. That is not the singleness the Bible was talking about, right? Maybe being a little more specific than comfortable, right? But I want to be clear about that's not the same thing. So St. Paul says, you guys ask, is it better for a man not to touch a woman? And Paul says, because of the temptation to immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. You see what he's saying? He said, you know this gift? You know where it belongs? In marriage. Let a man have his wife, let a wife have her husband. And I love this, the particularity of this. Neither one has authority over their own body. The husband does not have authority over his body. Who does? The wife does. The wife doesn't have authority over her body. Who does? The husband doesn't. And he addresses that to both. I want us to be clear about that. And then here's some real frankness from Paul. Do not deprive one another except for a limited time. And if so, even then, just for prayer. And agree to come together again so that Satan may not enter in with temptation. He knows that the flesh is strong and Satan would love to come in and drag us down. That's just practical word. That's where it belongs and it does belong there. Does that make sense? Now verses 8 to 9, he's going to start talking to specific people. That's the framework. Being single is good. Being married is good. To whatever God called you, live that. Now he's going to get specific. Verses 8 and 9, if you look at your bulletin, you'll see the text. The translators rendered it to the unmarried and the widows. We need to talk about that. The word unmarried doesn't mean, we might say unmarried, that means all the categories of people who are not married. That's not what it means. The word here has the implication of people who were formerly married. Formerly married. You hear what he's saying? So to the formerly married and the widows. Now there's only two ways you can be formerly married, and one of them is being a widower or a widow. What's the other one? To be divorced, right? To be divorced. So that's what it really should say. They should say, to the divorced and the widows, I say this. Guess what he's going to say first? It's good to be single. It's good to be single. That's what he's going to say. If you're divorced and widowed, it's great to be single. By the way, this is where he says, remain as I am. That's why many people think Paul maybe was a widower. But the second thing he says is this. If you can't exercise self-control, get married. Get married. Have you heard some people say, some people in the church have said, if you're divorced, you can never remarry. That's actually not biblical. Paul is saying to the divorced and the widowed, if you can remain single, do so. But if you want to get married, get married. Can the church do second marriages? Yes, 1 Corinthians 7. Here's a wonderful thing. By the way, if a divorce took place, something went wrong. That we do get, right? Something contrary to God's will went on if a divorce took place. But I want us to get this. You know, I know, people who are in a second marriage, and it's wonderful, right? You know somebody in a second marriage, and you think, wow, that is a really solid Christian marriage. I think that is a beautiful picture of forgiveness and grace, right? Something happened in the past. There was not success, but now there's a moment of God saying, I want to restore and this relationship, now this relationship, till death do us part. Does that make sense? Paul, ever practical, says, it is better to marry than to burn with passion. I don't think I have to tell you what that verse means. I just wanted to point it out that that is there. Okay. Verses 10 and 11. To the married, I'm going to summarize it real quick. Are you ready? To the married, work on your marriage. That's what he's saying. If you're married, work on your marriage. Preserve your marriage. Work at loving one another. Maybe it's grown a little cold. Warm it up again. Right? Warm it up again. The reason Paul says that is that in Roman culture, divorce was easy. People went in and out of marriages over and over again. Fourth marriage, fifth marriage, whatever the number was. You just enter. It's like a business contract. Actually sounds a little familiar. Right? Like it's a piece of paper, people say. You know, the Bible says in Malachi 2:16, God hates divorce. That's not to be judgmental, just to say that something went awry. This is something we know. You know who else hates divorce? Is those who have lived through it. That's just the fact of it. 80% of people after a divorce say they're less happy. Right? In a marriage, people will think, if I could get out of my marriage, after the marriage, 80% are less happy than they were. So this is what I want to say. Work on your marriage. Preserve your marriage. Maintain your marriage. Do you need to see a pastor? Give me a call. Do you need more than that? Do you need a therapist? Give that person a call. Does that make sense? Do you need to read the book, The Five Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman? I love that book. If you haven't read it, I commend it to you. There's other resources. The comedian Jeff Foxworthy says, if marriage is work, that means that when you come home from work, you're at work. Did everyone know that? That's true. Marriage is work. Work on it, right? That's what he's saying. The married, work on it. Now, the next section, and this is a wonderful section. He says, what about Christians who have an unbelieving spouse? What about Christians who have an unbelieving spouse? He says that because some people in Corinth thought if you have an unbelieving spouse, to be pure yourself, you need to leave that spouse. Paul says, no. I want you to stay in that marriage. If you have an unbelieving spouse, I want you to stay first and foremost for your kids, to be an influence in the life of your kids, to raise your kids in the faith. But this strange phrase where he says the unbelieving spouse is, his words, made holy by the presence of the believing spouse. Does that mean they're saved? I don't know that it means that, but I want us to say that it does mean that you're the influence. By the way, don't let the influence run the other direction, right? That can happen. I've seen the unbeliever drag the believer away. Let the believer be the influence there. What does that mean? That means live it daily. So do not divorce an unbelieving spouse. Verse 25, there's one more mistranslation in the ESV. I don't mean to correct the translators all the time, but I want to hear. Verse 25, they render now concerning the betrothed. I'm not sure why they put that there. The Greek word is parthenos. That means virgin. Now concerning the virgins, remember he's already talking about the divorced and the widowed. The virgin, he means people who have never been married before. What's he going to say? You're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to live out your faith. What's Paul say to you? The first thing is the same as always. It's good to be single. Paul will always say that. It's good to have the life of singleness. And he adds the words, in view of the present distress. I do want to say this. We do not live under the terrible distress of the Corinthian church. And especially, not only was it bad, they were getting ready to face a serious persecution. So I think Paul, in some level, means at that time. But I want to stick out. He does always say, if you can do it, it's good to be single. But what else does he say? If you do marry, you have not sinned. See, some people, again, say, to be pure, we have to pull away from the world. Not biblical. Not biblical. Always, always. There you have Paul's words to believers, to the married, to the married unbelievers, divorced, widowed, virgins, never married. I want to say a couple points. These are my points. I hope they're consistent with Scripture, but I always love to say a couple things. One is, I say to young couples frequently, date seriously and marry soon. Do you want to, I want you to hear that again. Date seriously and marry soon. What I mean is, you're always looking, is this my spouse or not? Sometimes people say, I know this is my future spouse, we're going to get married in a year and a half. And I always say, what's the wait? Right? One of the things people are doing is they're planning a big elaborate wedding. I'll tell you this right now. First of all, there's a lot of fighting and stress about that wedding. Why would you do that to yourself? The second thing is this. Do you know that the more you spend on your wedding, the less likely you are to have success in your marriage? You do not have to buy your bride-to-be a Lexus SUV. She does not need it, right? The other thing I want to say about date seriously, I mean date seriously to get to know this person, their character, their values, and their faith. To know them. The problem with young couples running ahead on their physical relationship is they never get to know one another. All they know is that the physical part is great. Right? Now, I've always said, date seriously and marry soon. In Connecticut, a young couple in my church said, Pastor, we want you to marry us in 2 weeks after the Saturday service. And I said, I'm not used to people listening to what I say. But we did it. Saturday, 5 o'clock church, 6:15 wedding. 2 weeks later, still married. This is my last point. This is clearly consistent with Scripture. It is biblical. I'm going to conclude with this thought. Sexual sin is not an unforgivable sin. Do you hear that? It is not an unforgivable sin. Sometimes people get caught up in those things, and then Satan gives them the lie that because of that, you are now unlovable. That is a lie. It is untruth of the first order. I've also noticed this. People coming out of bad relationships and people who have been mistreated by a previous partner often carry the attitude that I do not deserve better. That is also a lie. I want us to hear that, right? It is not unforgivable. 1 Corinthians 6:11 last week. I hope you memorize these words. Such were some of you. Remember that? Paul said, here's a list of sins. You can't inherit the kingdom of God and live like that. But then he says, such were some of you, past tense. We've sinned, but it's not our present, right? Your past does not define you. The forgiveness of Jesus Christ defines who you are and always does. And having been forgiven, he says, enter in to God's wonderful plan for your life. Amen. And we stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.